Mizmor Yud. Yes, they did the first pasuk. Let's move ahead. Okay, so we're up to pasuk beis. Begavas Rasha Yidlak Oni. Okay, in the guide of the Rasha Yidlak Oni, Yitavsu Bizniros Zu Choshav. It's a hard pasuk. What does it mean over here? The word Yidlak. Yidlak Oni. The Oni is Yidlak. So let's see what it says over here in the Mitzudas David. The Mitzudas David says Yirdav. Okay, Yidlak means to be on fire. Okay, what does it mean? What does it mean over here to be on fire? It means
hot pursuit.
Exactly. It means to be in hot pursuit. One second over here. Hot, exactly. The Ani is in hot pursuit. Can you still hear me? Calm, so we'll make sure. Calm, can you still hear me? Is the sound clear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Not so clear, but I hear you.
It's not so clear. Ooh, all right. Let me turn the phone this way. Is it any better now when I turn it this way? Is the phone better now? Is the sound better now?
Yeah, now it's okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So here the pasuk says over here lama begavas rosh, and in the arrogance of the rosh of Yidlak Oni, he chases after the poor man. Yitavsu, he is seized. Bimzimos zuchashavu. He is. I'm reading the pasuk page 82. I'm just reading the same. Pasuk page on page 82. Okay. Okay, going further. Pasuk says again. The pasuk over here says, in the arrogance of the Rasha Yidlak Oni, he chases after the poor man. Yitavsu, he is seized. Bizniros zu chashavu. Who is seized? So look in the Mitzudas David. Look in the Mitzudas David. Who's the one that is seized? It's on page. The Mitzudas David is on page. I keep losing the place over here. Is on page 83. In page 83, Begavas ba'avur roiv. Gavasai, due to his abundance and arrogance, Roidev Esseon, he chases after the poor man. Visoifes Osoi Bimach Shavtoi, Ashercho Shav Lutovsulo, and he seizes him in his thoughts, which he planned to grab him, to be Toifes, to seize him. So the one that's being, the one that, according to the parish of the Mitzudas David, the one that is being the subject of. The one that is being snatched is the victim. Yitavsu means the Rasha actually, he's toifes. He seizes, he grabs hold of his victim. Bim zimois, he's successful.
How do you translate Yitavsu?
He will be caught.
Where you say?
How do you translate Yitavsu?
In his thoughts, in his plans. In the Mitzudas David?
In his thoughts?
Which word?
Yidlak.
Yidlak means to pursue. To pursue. Look in the Mitzudas Tzion. In the Mitzudas Tzion it says the word Yidlak, Yirdoif, to pursue. So he chases after the Rasha in his arrogance, he chases after the poor man, Yitavsu, and the poor man is seized. He is a victim. He is seized bimizimois in the plans, zuchashavu, that the perpetrator planned, he thought. In other words, he is successful. According to the Mitzvot David, the criminal is successful. He has a plan. He has an elaborate plan how he will go and he will seize, he will snatch the victim, and he is successful. Rashi Pasuk Beis, Gidlak, Yirdoif, same translation, he chases. Kmoki dolakto acharoi. We come to Lavan. Lavan said to Yaakov Avinu said about Lavan that you pursued, you chased after me. Yitavsu bimzimos zuchashavu nisposim hem hoaniim. The poor people are seized, they're snatched. Bimzimos in the plans sheharishaim choshim aleihem. they're successful. And what's interesting about this pasuk is it's not just, you know, it's not just it was an accident. There was a plan. There was premeditated crime. There was a plan that was set out. The Rasha had an idea, had an elaborate plan. He implemented his plan and he was successful, and the poor man was indeed snatched and fell into his net. It wasn't just a random crime. Person walking down the street and he's attacked. This was done deliberately. This was done with thought. It was premeditated. And the perpetrator, the Rasha, was successful in carrying out his plan. Okay, let's go to the end. Let's look at okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. Ki Hillel Rasha al Tavas Nafshei. The Rasha praises himself over his desires. The word Tavas means obviously the desires of Neshama. Ki Hillel means he praises himself. Uvoitzea, and this is a very famous pasuk. This pasuk is in Mamar Chazal. Uvoitzea Beirech. A person who praises himself. I'm going to read the mitzvah better because I don't want to mess it up. Nietz Hashem, he is blasphemy to Hashem. Now, what does that mean exactly? Let's right away look in the mitzvah of it on page 84. Let's see how he translates this over here. Kihila Rasha Bavur Shah Rasha Mahalal Meshabech Atzma. Because the wicked man, he praises himself. Al Shayisig Ta'ava, so that he is successful. He is successful in overtaking his desires. V'hagazlon ba'is asoysoy ne'otsois. And the gazlon, when he is successful, ne'otsois. Now, ne'otsois means, the way he explains it here in the Mitzvah, means boza. He, oz yisparach bilvavo, he despises. Okay, so we're going to a little over here is the word ne'ots means to despise. That's how he translates over here. It's over here in the mitzvot. The word of ni'etz.
He's despicable
acts.
I think ni'etz is
ne'ots.
Yeah, ne'ots is like a klala.
Curse. Okay,
but that's a klala.
He has blasphemy.
Blasphemy.
Sorry?
I think it's klala.
A curse. Right, it's the opposite of curse. Mitzudos David. Let's look at the Mitzudos Sion. Yeah. Okay. Let's see how the Mefarshim learn from. Let's just go. We'll go through the different translations. The Mitzudos David says the word over here. The word both ni'etz means baza. He despises. So go back to the Mitzudos David and we read the words over here. Ki hil Rasha bavusha Rasha mahalum mushbech atzmei al shehis tiktavos. So the Rasha is very proud of himself. What is he proud of himself that he has achieved his goal? The Rasha has a desire to commit a crime, and the Rasha is successful. And therefore the Rasha goes out for a l'chaim. He goes out for a drink to praise himself. Via gazlon.
To boast.
Via gazlon. Now the pasuk is repeating itself. Likewise, the gazlon, the ganof, be'es asoysoy, when he is successful, ne'otsois oz Yisparach
b'levavei lemar. I think it's so neotzos, but because it's despicable, despisable acts.
At the time, he curses Hashem, Rachman al-Islam, Zmevorech Hashem. When a Rasha is successful and he sees there's nothing holding him back from doing what he wants to do, he is Mevorech Hashem. Look at the words. Via gazlan, the robber, the ace asoysoy, at the time of his crime. At the time when he succeeds in doing his crime, what does he say to Hashem? Ne'otsois oz yisparach, kama. He then is mevorech Hashem. He commits the crime of blasphemy. He says something nasty about Kaviyach, about Kodesh Baruch Hu, bilvavoy, in his heart. What does he say? What is the blasphemy that the Rasha, at the time of his success in committing the crime, what does he say about Hashem? Shalom Yihyeli, there'll be peace to me. Ki loy na'asa boy davar, because Hashem was unable to do anything to hold me back. I was able to do whatever I wanted, and look at that, Hashem did not hold me back. Again, this whole mizmor, according to the Malbim, is tzaddik v'ra'ale, and it's discussing the frame of mind of the Rasha. The Rasha commits a crime, and he's look at that, I got away with it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was unable to hold me back from doing what I wish to do. Al Kain, therefore, Mala Lev Adam La'asoy Yisra. This is psychology. there's a psychology where the person does an avera. So the very first time he does an avera, you know, I'll give you, the chazal, we'll see this in a second. There's a famous chazal, and then I made a joke with someone about this chazal. And what do I mean? The first time a person does an avera, it's an avera. How does it go in avera? The second time, I forgot, we'll probably come across it. It's not so terrible. The third time, it's a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. The fourth time, it's a mandate. Okay? Now, it was the fourth time, it gets worse and worse.
Even the Rosh
does Baruch Hashem, right? So there is psychology to doing crime. The first time a person does a crime, he's afraid. He looks here and he looks there, up and down. It can really be that I'm able to do the crime and a bolt of lightning is not going to come out of the sky and knock me down. Can it really be that I'll be successful? And guess what he does? Nothing happens to him. So then he says, let's try again. And the second time, he doesn't even look around. And he comes to, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not holding me back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is powerless in preventing me from committing these crimes. And that itself is an act of blasphemy. And that's what it says. Let's read the words of the Mitzudas one more time, because the words of the Mitzudas here are very deep. It's like a human psychology. One more time. Ki hilul rasha bavur shahar rasha mehalul mishpech atzmei al shesig tavos. Say the rasha. He praises himself. He congratulates, better word, he congratulates himself that he was able to achieve his desires, and likewise the gazlan, the robber, at the time, when he does his criminal act, what does he do? He then, the word means he's mevaze, he looks down. He curses. Is mevorich es Hashem. Okay, the word mevorich means to bless. It's used as a euphemism because you wouldn't want to chashom say those words. As oz yisparach b'lovav lemar shalom yali ki loy nasel b'idaver, Hashem did not do anything to hold me back. Al kain, therefore that emboldens him. When he gets away with the crime and he commits it another time, that gives him even more chutzpah to do it a second time. Okay, Mola Lev Adam La Sois Ra, his heart is emboldened to do evil. Let's see Rashi, Dibir Hamaschil, and the Pesh Kihila Rasha, Musav Al Lam Hashem Tamamir Chaik. This Pasik is returning to the Pasik in the beginning of the Mizmah, the first Pasik. Why Hashem do you stand from afar? Ki Ata, now Esav Harasha, Mishalel Shamasik Kol Tavas Navsho. Now, in Golos, Esav Harasha is proud of himself, that he was able to achieve all of his goals, his desires. No one is holding him back from the crimes that he has committed. Uvoitzea beirech nietz Hashem v'hagazlan. So here it's very important. The word boitzea, according to both the Mitzudas David and Rashi, means a ganaf. There are two different subjects of this pasuk. The first half of the pasuk is describing the Russian. The Russian general commits many, many crimes. The Vaitseya is describing a specific type of evil man, a gazlan. Okay, Vaitseya means a person who commits theft. Look in the Mitzudais Tzion. U Vaitseya, Hagazlan. The word Vaitseya means someone who commits robbery. Kamo hoi Vaitseya Betza. We learned that not so long ago in Chavakuk, a person that steals. Okay, so the second name of the pasuk is Uvoitseya, the ganaf, the gazlan. A gazlan is someone who steals in open. A ganaf is someone who steals secretly. Uvoitseya, a brazen thief, when he commits this crime, beirech, he praises himself. He congratulates himself, nietz Hashem, and he is mevaze, he disgraces Hashem. Rashi, V'hagazlan, shibaches atzmai lemar, to say, nietz Hashem, Hashem is mevuzeh, Hashem is despised, because Hashem is not able, is powerless. In this world, if you have no power, you are nothing. V'shalom yihiyeli, beirech kamo birech. Beirech, over here, Rashi was getting into the grammar. And the word Beirech over here means to, usually to bless others. And Birech means to bless yourself. So in the context of this pasuk, when it says the word Beirech, it means that the Gazlan, he blesses himself. Even though we would think that it should say Birech, instead of the way we have it pronounced, we have our Nikud of Beirech, it's the same. He praises himself, L'shoin P'el. It's an expression of P'el, meaning he is doing it to himself. V'seida, she'ilu hoya shem davar, hoya hatam l'mala, then the emphasis would be on the bass, the accent would be on the bass, l'mala, ba'ois harishon, hoya hatam l'mala, ba'ois harishona, the first letter, it would be Beirech Hashem. And notice, it's a little bit confusing because in Tehillim, we have a different set of trop. And, you know, the trop of the three different, some emes. Iyov, Mishlei, and Tehillim. These three svarim have their own unique, they have their own unique set of Tameh HaMikra. And over here, you notice there are two different trops. There is what looks like an Asla Geresh on top of the base, and there's a Revi'i on top of the Resh. But for our purposes, according to the Rashi, the Ikar is the Resh. And therefore, it's Beirech, Uvotzea, Beirech, not Uvotzea, Beirech. If it would be Beirech, then it would mean that the Ganof, is blessed. The Ganof is less. It would be an adjective, right? And now, you see, in Rashi, whenever it says Rashi doesn't differentiate between an adjective and a noun. An adjective is a description of a noun. A noun is a noun. A noun is an object or a person, and an adjective is a word that describes a noun. We've come. I don't know anything about grammar, but it appears from what we've been learning, Rashi does not differentiate between a noun and an adjective. A word that describes.
So the blessed one?
Yes. The blessed Ganef. The Ganef who is blessed. The Ganef, if the word Beirech would be an adjective, which Rashi calls a noun, because Rashi does not differentiate, then the accent would be on the base. Uvoitzea Beirech, the blessed thief. A thief is a blessed person. And that's blasphemy to say such a thing. So therefore Rashi says it's not what it means. It means don't put the emphasis, the accent on the base, put the accent on the resh. And it means it's not a noun, it's not an adjective, it's a verb. The thief who engages in the activity of blessing. Who is he blessing? He's blessing himself. He's congratulating himself. It's a verb. There's an active activity taking place. It's not a description of who he is. It's not the thief who is a blessed individual. No. The thief who is now engaging in an activity of congratulations to whom?
He's saying he's blessing Hashem.
No.
He's thanking Hashem. Hashem doesn't allow him to get away with it.
No.
Where is that from?
No, right, exactly. It's not that.
Shalom
Yali. Shalom Yeah. I hear what you're saying, but it's not. Rashi says about himself. Look at the good one of the words of Rashi. Let's read the Rashi one more time. It's a very good dictuk Rashi. Rashi over here says, Bavotzea Beirech Nietz Hashem. Who is the word the Vavotzea? They have a lot of hard words in this part. Vavotzea means the Gazlan. Viha Gazlan. That's the translation of the word of Vavotzea. Shibaches Atzmoi. The word Beirech means he engages in an activity of offering congratulations. Who does he call? He calls himself. It's like when there's a new head of state, the United States of America, the new president. So the prime minister of Israel, he picks up the phone and he calls a new president. Congratulations on becoming the new president of the United States. So can you imagine when the president of the United States, he becomes president, he picks up the phone and he calls himself. He calls himself. He takes his home phone and he calls his smartphone. And one hand he has one. Congratulations! Congratulations on becoming president of the United States. He's engaged in an activity of a congratulatory activity. We want to welcome to the Beis Medrash, the Ulam of Beis Medrash, the one and only Meir Appeldorf.
my son, congratulations.
Baruch Raifei Chaylim. Welcome back. Welcome back. Baruch Hashem. Shechyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. Okay, so we have over here the Boitzeah Berech. The Berech means he's engaged in an activity. In the activity of graduating with Kamo Berech. V'loshon PL. PL means he is, it's a meaning he is engaged in activity. V'seida, she'ilu ha'yashem davar. If this word was an adjective, a noun, again, Rashi's not differentiating between a noun and a noun and an adjective, which would then mean that.
He meant a noun. A noun is a Berech. Berech is
Bnei. Bnei is a description.
It's
a blessed person.
If it's a noun, it's a Berech.
If it's a noun,
it's a Berech.
But now in English, a noun, Alice, I don't know much about grammar, but in English, I'm assuming that.
Assuming the normal translation of the word, but it doesn't apply here.
Okay, let's see. Over here, then it would say, "Kamo birech lashon pl v'teida she'ilu ha'yashem davar." If this was a noun, okay, whatever, however you want to describe it, hayatam lamala ba'ois harishona v'haya nakut patoch. It would be barech. It would be barech uvotzeya.
No, the accent would be
on the base, and the nikud would be v'haya nakut patoch. A patoch is.
When yeah. Rashi calls a patach,
okay.
It says it is actually a
segel. Berech. Okay. Rashi, you have to know, I don't know this. Rashi has a different vocabulary. A different vocabulary for the nikudos. What we call a patach, which is a one line, Rashi calls a segel. So therefore it will be called then the correct nikud and the correct pronunciation will be uvotzeya berech. Uvotzeya berech. The blessed thief. It would be a description of the thief, and the accent would be under the bays, and the nikud would be a segel. Uboitseya berech, the blessed thief. But that's blasphemy to say such a thing. And therefore, the fact that it says uboitseya berech, number two. Number one is the nikud is a sere, and number two, it's milara. The emphasis is not on the first letter, it's on the second letter, it's on the last syllable. That indicates that it's not a description of the thief. Rather, it is an activity in which the thief is currently engaged in. He is engaged in offering congratulations. To whom? To himself for his success. Shalom yiyeli ki bishrius libi eilech. The zenokud komotz, Rashi's vocabulary komotz means a tsere. It's very complicated to know Rashi's vocabulary. How did we get all so messed up?
His
terminology. Our terminology of that's always very, very confusing. Whenever Rashi gets into diktuk, you really got to keep your head on straight. And the main problem is because we don't know what Rashi's referring to, because Rashi's using a different vocabulary to describe the little dots. The taimoi lamata, and the tam, the accent, is lamata, is the end of the pasuk. Boreish on the letter reish. The al tismal ba al beirech shloy amar birech. So now you do not be in shock. How could you say such a thing? According to Rashi's interpretation, the correct nikud should be birech. Birech. It should be a chirik, not a tseri under the base. Shahar be tevoy shel reish. You gotta know the exceptions. And you have to know the exception to the exception, and the exception to the exception's exception. Right? That's how.
Because.
Yeah.
The reason is because there was supposed to be the gesh in the second letter. And instead, like shibber. But you cannot have a dagesh there because it's a resh. Resh
okay.
Doesn't get a dagesh.
So you're saying the dat.
Therefore, the chitrik became the tsere.
Aha.
That's what happened.
Because there should be a dat in the resh. And you can't do that. That had an effect on the.
Look at the beginning of the pasuk, Hillel.
Okay.
The same one. The same
Hillel. Ah, okay. Hillel. There's a dot in the lamed. Fascinating.
Hillel. Yes. But there are three pa'alim here. Hillel, Berech, Mi'etz. All of them in the same pasuk.
Same form. Same grammatical form. And because the lamed, look at the word Hillel. Hillel, there is a dot in the lamed. So the same way there's a dot around Hillel, there should be a dot in the resh. It should be B reich. But because, for whatever reason, we cannot put a dot in the resh, so what happened to that dot? That dot was pushed back. That dot had a boomerang effect on the bays, and the bays had to be changed from B reich to Bay reich. Bay reich.
You have the pasuk.
They call it in Hebrew tashlum dagesh.
The tashlum dagesh. Fascinating.
You have the pasuk by Bilam and Balak.
Same word. Bay reich. Same, very good. Same idea. Shahar Beit Teva shall reish misham shoyz kach kugoyin oyev chay reif. It doesn't say chi reif. It should say chi reif. Why does it say chay? Same idea because of the reish. V'loy nemar chi reif. Now you look over here. Let's look over here on the side. In the sif says the kain a little grammar of your aleph. Beireich kmo bireich. We're talking lema bechirik l'shon pl. Shapoal umeshabech atzma base hayatam lamala. The emphasis and the word in the word berech is lamala kedin shem davar shatam olael. Anytime you have a noun, the emphasis is going to be on the second to last syllable. So therefore, if this word was berech berech, it would be berech. If this was a adjective describing the boitzea, then again it would be a segel, be, and the emphasis, the accent would be on the beis. It would be be reich. Fine. Gimel perish Rashi zal v'hoyu nakud patoch return loymar segel. So over here he explains that according to the you have to get the terminology straight. Tachas hareish ki lesegel kari Rashi zal patoch. Rashi calls a segel a patoch. V'kal lehavin. And for the Siv Zei Zekenim, it's very easy to understand. But for everyone else, it's not so easy to understand. V'hoya nokud patoch. Okay, and therefore it's nokud patoch. It's a tenua kitana, a small tenua. Okay, so now he's getting into he's getting over here into some more fancy footwork, which we're not going to do now because we spent the whole day on this. Mirka Mishra Achatunu Akitana, not for now, another time, not for now that. Komatz Ritan Lema Tzere. Shkarashi Zal Komatz Koton, the Kal Lohovin, no, there's a Komatz Koton, a Komatz Godol, that is a major, major tsugya. Unbelievable tsugya to know the difference between a Komatz Koton and a Komatz Godol. Good luck. Okay, the new tikkunim and some of the better sidurim and some of the new tikkun koirim, they differentiate. They have a different symbol for the komatz koton and the komatz and the regular komatz. Okay, and you know, you gotta really know your stuff to appreciate that. Next, aval achshav shenokut komatz u'tegalamat tzere shuhu komatz koton v'hu. Okay, let's forget about this. We did enough. Yoitza today, grammar niets. Back to Rashi. Nietz kemo cheref. The word nietz means, so Rashi over here is maybe a little bit different. I don't know if you want to make a machloikis in Rashi and the Mitzudah David. The Mitzudah David, so the word nietz means to be bozo, to despise. To despise. Rashi says the word nietz means it's a stronger term than despise. Cheref. Cheref is a chiv misa, misas bezin. If a person chas v'shalom is mechoref Hashem, which means he says, you know, he says what he says about Hashem, then he's chayav misa. That's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can do no harm. Yet when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not so. Opening a person says just through the koyach hadibur, he has not harmed any individual. To me, this is always one of the most shocking things in the Torah. The Torah is very, very easygoing. Torah is not looking to make trouble for anyone. Hashem has a lot of rachmanis. You got to do quite a bit to get into trouble in the Torah. You have to really cause harm. You have to cause another person harm. You know, it's amazing. In the second, in this country we live in, a person, if you go and you libel, if you write something in the newspaper and you can prove in court that the person suffered, he had to go to a psychologist and pay pay the insurance company had to shell out a couple of $1,000 for some sessions, so you can go to court and you can sue for an incredible amount of money. Okay, you may have to pay the lawyers more money than when you win. Okay, but technically speaking, the government, the law allows a person to sue for defamation and for things incredible sums of money. You just got to know how to work the system. You got to know how to work the system to get the money. The Torah, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. There is boishes, there is nezek, tsar, sheves, ribui, boishes. And when the Gemara talks about boishes, embarrassment, the amount of money of boishes is not all that much. It doesn't come out. I remember the Yulim of Akam, along the Sugis of boishes, and his nezek is a dad, and even nezek. Nezek means what is his ability to earn money? What is his value of how much money he can make? The money does not come out to billions, the millions of dollars. So the Torah has a very different standard of how much a person's entitled to claim when he suffers mental anguish because someone spoke about him lashon hara. It's a very big topic, very interesting topic. Yet, so you get the impression that the Torah is not out to get you, and certainly, when a person's aver is purely between himself and Hashem, it's a private sin. A person's in the basement, locked up, and no one's listening, except for Alexa and Siri, and the NIH, and the CIA, and MI6, and one of the other spy organizations, which I can't memorize all of their names. Besides those people, the person just between him and himself, and his two witnesses, and they tell him, don't say anything bad about Hashem. And they warn him. And he says something nasty about Hashem.
Privately,
no one but two witnesses. He's chayiv misas bezdin. Misas bezdin. It's an incredible chiddush. Incredible chiddush. So that has to be in this category of chayreif. The person does something despicable, but he doesn't, words do not come out of his mouth. He's not chayiv misa. If he's mevazeh chas v'sholem, that's a shame, in a not a nice way. He's not chayiv misa. He's only chayiv misa when the words come out of his mouth. So the Mitzudas David did not say the word chayreif. He said bozo. Bozo is a terrible avera, but it does not appear that the word bozo qualifies for misas bezdin. The word chayreif appears to be a reserved word, which means actually committed the crime of birchas Hashem, and it's chayiv misa. Same thing.
I have an explanation. Same thing. Number two, you have the three stages. Like David does it quite a few times here. First, he gives himself a big yishar koyach. Hillel et harasha, ki hillel rasha al whatever al tava nafsho, and then he mevarech et atzmo, gives him a big yishar koyach al atzmo, and then goes to the next stage.
Very good.
But it might be another explanation here. They're not rasha ni'etz et chas v'shalom et Hashem, but Hashem ni'etz et rasha for whatever. It's ni'etz Hashem.
Okay, you're making a drush. Okay, you're saying you drush. Okay, we got. Okay, I hear what you're saying. You're reading the words backwards. You're reading the words in a different order, which would come out of the Kodesh Baruch. What he has done over here is Hil Rasha Al Tavas Nashay. So Hashem responds. Hashem's response is Hashem is Nietz the Boitzea Birech. Hashem is going to curse. Hashem will curse this Ganof that praises himself for his success. You want to read the words backwards. Okay. That's in line with our what we do here all the time. We read the words backwards. I hear you're saying very, very good. You're saying the read the words backwards.
There is a term, a line there.
Okay. Who is Hashem? Right.
Hashem.
Right. Well, we do want the reason why you're saying very the reason why there's a mafsing is because we don't want to go put Hashem next to the word niets. That's why that's pshat, simple pshat. But you're saying a drush. Rav Kalman is saying a drush that we should read the end of the pasuk backwards. First, the pasuk says ki hilal rasha al tavas nafsho. Period. The rasha he praises himself. And what is the pasuk concludes? Uvotzeh berach niets. And read the words Hashem. Read it backwards. Hashem, he is niets. He will curse the person, the boitzeh, the ganof, that birech, that praises himself, any ganav that praises himself, he's going to be cursed. I'll tell you something which came to, a thought that came to mind, which is a ganav, he praises himself. I'll give you a mashal. A rebbe is hired to teach a lesson. He's hired a rav or a rashiva or a magid shir. So part of the job, you got to prepare, right? You don't just walk into the shir cold. You don't walk in off the street. Okay, shir, open up the safe and just start learning. That's not right. That shows you have no respect for the people that you're teaching. If you come late, like what I do, if you come late, this is one of the worst averas. It shows you do not value the time of the people who come to the shir. The people who come to the shir, they come on time. It is your duty to be on time. Not to come on time to people who are waiting for you, it goes to show that you do not value their time. And time is the most valuable commodity in this world. Okay, likewise, when you say a shir, you have to prepare. It's a chutzpah nerve to walk in off the street and just say a shir without preparation. So I once heard from a rashi who says, when do you know it's time to retire? When do you know it's time to call it quits? So you start out, you know, young and fresh, you stay sort of the whole night preparing the shir. Whole night, you appear, you come the next day, you give the shir. Then you get a little bit older, you get very busy in life, you don't prepare as much. You prepare less. You rely upon, you know, the old shir. Then it comes the point in time where you're just so busy, you just walk into the classroom, you just walk up to the pulpit and you say a drash off the bat. But at least when you finish saying your shir, and you're saying Yidrasha, you feel bad. Oy, I just barely got through. I didn't prepare one word. And I was just able to just, you know, to say some nonsense to get through it. Then you come, you don't prepare one word, and you get up in front of the tzibur, and you say a shir, and you walk away. Wow, that was a good shir. When you get to that madrega, when you walk in and you say a shir without preparation, and you walk away from the shir, that was a good shir, you know it's time to call it quits. When you praise your botseya, your ganav, you're hired to give a shir. Part of being hired to give a shir is to prepare. And if you praise
it's been nice knowing you.
When you praise yourself for giving a nice shir without preparation, time to go. Avios amigo.
Depends what you call preparation. You've been preparing for 40 years, so it's. I understand what you said. I do. But you're okay, right.
Different madrigas in preparation, yeah. Of course. Different madrigas. Okay, let's go further. So Rashi, my point of view is that Rashi over here uses a very strong vocabulary. Rashi says the Tillim is all about vocabulary. It's all about the words, how to use the words, Riley, and the sentence structure and the expressions. Niyetz kmo cheref, v'chein kol lashon ni'utz, kach posar minachem. What does the Targum say? Targum says, u'demivorech gavra toloma. Person, he prays toloma merachak Hashem. See, that's why I don't do Targum, because I don't know what the Targum means. It's taking me forever to go look at all these words. Toloma. Toloma is the word ni'etz. What does it mean? What is the word nietz? Nietz Hashem, mirachak Hashem. Why does he have the word mirachak? I really, really should find a good sefer to help me learn the Targum. I'm sure the Targum over here is jam-packed with insights of how you learn the pasuk. Probably many, many times the Targum is saying things that are not like Rashi or the Mitzudas, even a whole new interpretation. He seems to translate the word nietz as the word toloima. I don't know what that means. And what does he mean over here, mirachak Hashem? Why didn't he just say it's Hashem? Nietz, toloimo merachak. I don't have no idea what this means. This is something we have to, and regug. What's a regug? Regug nafshei. I read the Targum. I just tried to point out something that I do not know. Targum says mitul because, word ki means mitul because, the ishtabach, rashia, the wicked person, because the wicked person, he praises himself. Al rig rug nafshe, desire. The rig rug, I don't know what the word rig means. Obviously, it means something along the lines of desire. But it would be nice to get a more precise translation of how he translates the word tava. Tava is a very good word to know. How do you translate the word tava? A desire. The misoinenim. His avu tava. a double expression. That's what you really know what the word means. If you really want to know what the word means, look in Tanakh where the word is doubled. Because when the word is doubled, that opens up an insight into what the word really, really means. Because not every word can you double. Toivo ha'aretz me'oid me'oid. The Meraglim, Yoshua and Kalev said about Eretz Yisrael, don't listen to the Meraglim. The land is Toivo ha'aretz me'oid me'oid. Very, very much. What does that mean? Me'oid me'oid. What does that mean? I mean, that's you know, in English, it's not high quality writing. Someone once taught me, someone once tried to help me, look, try to help me learn how to write something, to put some words on a piece of paper. They were very unsuccessful. But they told me a lot of yeshiva boys, they make a very big mistake. And they write very, extremely, they use these, I don't even know what these words are called. A word has to stand on its own. If you have to add into your sentence the word very, very much, very, extremely, okay, there are many examples, you got a problem. That's not good writing. Good writing is because you're not using the right word then. When you want to bring out a point, there are enough words in the English language which capture the degree and the amount, the measure of what you're trying to describe without coming on to a word very. Extremely, things like that. These words, they don't add anything. They just burden the reader of reading more words. Be precise. Find the word that captures the idea. So now the question is, let's go to the Torah. It says every single day about creation. Every single day it says toiv. The only time it does not say the word toiv is when? It's on Tuesday. On Tuesday it does not say the word. It says, on Monday. It leaves out. So what does it do? It doubles over. It doubles over on Tuesday. It says toiv twice. And then what does it do on Shabbos? Friday, toiv me'oid. And what does it say about Eretz Yisrael? Toivo ha'aretz me'oid me'oid. So look what we've done over here. Study the Torah. You have zero. Monday, nothing. No compliments. No compliments. All the other days, toiv. Friday, toiv me'oid. What are you eating? Very good. Tov me'od. In English, according to my teacher, that's not the right thing to do. If the word toiv doesn't capture what it is, saying me'od in English, the way we translate it, you're not doing anything. You're not doing anyone a favor by saying tov me'od. Obviously, that means that in the Torah, and I believe what he's saying is true for all languages, that means that when the Torah says toiv me'od, it is incorrect to translate it, it was very good. The same way in English, at least what my teacher taught me, the word, if you have to say very good, is poor, poor, low quality, yeshiva grade.
How else would you translate something?
You have to, it depends what you're describing. It depends what you're describing. If the word good does not stand on its own, saying very good, it's poor English. So to say, okay, every situation is obviously different, but the point though is taken. The point is a very good point.
The point is to aim for precision.
When you're saying very good in English, in a regular situation, what are you adding? If the word good does not describe what it's yeshivish language to talk like that. If the word good does not capture what you're trying to describe, adding the word very is cheap. It's a cheap shot. Say it's extraordinary. It was extraordinary. It was successful. The word good, if the word good captures what you want to say, good. But saying very good, that's cheap.
What does very mean?
Very means to expand. The word very is a nothing word. It's just to take the other word and expand it. But the word good, who none of your business. My name is good. Who asked you to come into my domain and make me very? I'm good. I'm just giving you extreme examples in English, but there's truth to this.
If you would say a different word,
yeah,
you would lose the full impact of the word tov.
Okay.
Therefore, you have to say tov no.
No.
Because you can't say tov.
This concept, English, if it's true in English,
it's poetic.
What it means is we don't know what the word ma'od really means. We don't appreciate what the word ma'od means.
We don't appreciate what the word tov means.
That also.
And therefore, if you would use a different word than tov, you would lose somehow the power of the word tov.
Okay.
And therefore, you have to say tov.
Okay, but ma'od does not mean very. This is not an accurate translation.
Okay.
If in English, not everyone I see agrees with this principle. I really believe in this principle. I was taught by someone very, really, a lawyer, taught me how to write and edited things that I wrote, and very, very critical, and Baruch Hashem had the patience to sit down with me and explain many concepts to me about writing. I can't write one sentence, but the little few things I did in the past, sat down with me and explained to me, showed to me what I'm doing wrong.
English or Hebrew?
What?
In English or Hebrew?
English. Hebrew also. He was a whole new world.
100%
and this principle, I believe, is if it's true regarding the English language, al achas kama v'kama is it true regarding Lashon HaKodesh, which is the world was created with Lashon HaKodesh. If you say the word toif, okay, let me go back. If you say the word, good, if this word good stands by itself, who asked you to come into my territory and chop it with me? The word good is good. You have to come now and say, no, we're going to make you very. Mind your own business. Every person is entitled to their privacy. The word good is a word that stands on its own. You're going to come now into my domain and you're going to start manipulating the DNA of the word good. Who gave you permission?
How are you going to express success and goodness?
So there are other words. There are other words.
They're not as good as the word tov.
No, there are. Then the language is incomplete. Because we don't know what the word tov really means, and we don't know what the word ma'od really means. Because if this principle is true, which I'm suggesting to you that it is true, then to translate tov ma'od as very good is a cheap translation. There's a much more depth. Now, when you believe in that principle, then when you go to the next level, then you're really in trouble. Toiva ha'aretz me'oid me'oid. There you got a triple header. Toiv toiv me'oid me'oid. That's over the top.
But
what's
it? Me'oid
me'oid. Yeah.
It said also, what does it say? Ma'od, ma'od. He trembled.
Right. It says,
And then when the Esau
came, Vayecha yitcharod gedoy la'ad me'od. Another very good, another expression.
Exactly.
So we've gone from...
And then Esau also said, ad ma'od.
Vayecha
ad... Okay. Realized
that... Vo'ish Moshe... What's the problem? Am I asking this expression? Ve'ish Moshe...
Ve'ish Moshe onav me'od.
Onav me'od. And also this expression. Ve'ish Moshe... Gadol me'oid be'enei
avdei faro.
So I'm just trying to point out is that a word, look at the word me'od, tov me'od. In the Maaseh Bereishis we have a day zero. Then we have toiv. Then we have toiv me'oid. And then we have ad me'oid. Ad me'oid. And then we have Eretz Yisrael gets the cake with all the icing. That toivo ha'aretz. Ma'oid, ma'oid. And if you really want to know the meaning of the word, I'm suggesting to you the place to study the, if you can find words where the words are doubled, that's where the secret lies in trying to uncover the truth of the depth of the words. And why am I, how do we get into this? How, because not every word.
By the way, excuse me, by the Meraglim, when it says Tovah, or it's when Kalev says Tovah, or it's Ma'od, the Ode, Mepharshim say that he's answering the spies who said the land is great, but look at what, but.
But, Avol.
No, it's not, there are no buts. It's Tobar, it's Me'od, Me'od.
Keep on going higher and higher. Okay, very good. That's very, very good. It's a rejection of the word. It's a rejection of the word Avol. Now, what am I trying to tell you? If you go through, if you make a list of all the words in the Hebrew language, by the way, you know, the people have done this. How many words are there in Biblical Hebrew? Take the entire Tanakh, the Kukudatsia. Take the Kukudatsia, and you reduce it to its Shirish, and you make a list of all the words. Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, is one of the smallest languages in the world. Okay, we once went the statistics of how many words are there in the English language, how many words in French and Russian and in German, v'chulu, v'chulu. So Lashon HaKodesh is one of the smallest languages in the world. You know, there's a lot of studies on how many words does the average person use when he speaks on a daily, what's the average vocabulary list? How many words? Very few, not so many, a few hundred words. Not more than a few hundred words, the average person when they speak on a daily basis. Conversation language. So, but it's a very small language, Lashon HaKodesh, one of the smallest languages. If you really, now, go through the entire dictionary of Lashon HaKodesh and highlight the number of words in the entire list where in Tanakh they're doubled. For example, Mo'id Mo'id. Okay, Mo'id Mo'id. Are there other, I'm sure, Amen V'Amen. V'Amen V'Amra Ha'isha, Amen V'Amen. By the Saita. Okay, you go through, there are a couple of words, there are only a handful. One of those handful number of words in the Hebrew dictionary is Ta'ava. Our pasuk right here, Ta'ava. Where does it say the word Ta'ava? Where is it doubled? By the misoininim, those who wanted to eat meat. His ahavu Ta'ava. The word Ta'ava is doubled. They had a desire to have a desire. So that those type of words in this list of the vocabulary, where you have that is doubled, that is a great hint, a great place to start to study the Mepharshim, to see why are you doubling, what are you accomplishing as the whole discussion here. What do you accomplish when you double the word? If you can't discuss, if you can add the word very, that's a cheap shot to try to expand the word. So when you double the word, what are you trying to accomplish? If the word itself cannot express what you mean to say, what are you going to gain by doubling it? Obviously, there's more than meets the eye. There's a much deeper meaning in what that word means. So I'm just trying to learn over here with the Targum. The Targum over here says over here the word rigug. Rigug. Rigug is the Targum of the word ta'ava. Okay, rigug, I don't know what this word means. I'm going into territory, I have no idea, but the Targum over here is always a very great place to get some insight into the more defined meaning of the words. And here we have Ki Hilal Rasha. The Rasha praises himself Al Tavas Nafsho on what does it mean over here, Al Tavas Nafsho? If you take the pasuk literally, you know what it sounds like? If you translate this pasuk superficially, what does it mean? He praises himself over his success in achieving what is heart, in acquiring what his heart desires. But that's not the literal translation of the pasuk. The literal translation of the pasuk is that the Rasha praises himself over his desires even before he has his tonight. I think there's a very Jewish, a very deep message. A Rasha, truthfully, one second, everybody said, a Rasha truthfully never achieves his success. We have a scene today. Today we're going to have a scene by Ezra Fried. Rabbi Yisai, you came on a great day. People online, sorry, Rabbi Yisai. Sorry, if you want, we can feed you virtual food. But Ezra Fried is making a scene today. Today has the Shloshim for his mother. So at some point we're going to make a scene. Maybe we'll do it at the end. We'll see. Ezra, I think we'll do it at the end. The last 15 minutes?
Where's the food?
I think because people online, we shouldn't just they'll stand around. So we'll do it at the end. Okay. So we're probably going to finish a little bit early because Ezra Fried is going to make a scene today. Today is the Shloshim of his mother's yard site. So let's finish up over here. Are you here? What were we saying? The pasuk here says something very important. Ki hilal rasha al tavas nafsho. Translate the words
Rashi,
literally.
Rashi explained that Piatra Esau from Russia, Mishalel, Shemasik,
So Rashi says, how does Rashi translate the pasuk? Again, go back to the Rashi. Kil Rashi Musa Lomel Majam Tamarach, Kiata Esau Rashi, Mishalel, Shemasig. Rashi adds in one critical word, very powerful word that Esau he has achieved, he has attained. Okay? Shemasig Kol Tavas Nafsho. That's not what it says in the pasuk. That's not what it says. That's Rashi's perish on the pasuk. That's the Pshut Shalnik. Rashi lebust el lefarish. But if you want to take the pasuk literally, ki hilal rasha, the rasha praises himself al ta'avas nafsho on the desire of his neshama. It makes no mention that it was masik.
So, it doesn't say it.
That it was, right. So Rashi adds in because in the context that is what it means. But the truth is, a rasha really never ever achieves what his goals, because mi sheyesh loy moneh roitzeh mosayim. Just like we appreciate that when it comes to money, a person has 100, he wants 200. If you have 200, you want 400. You have 400, you want 800. If you have
Russia, that's everybody.
Everyone. If you have a billion dollars. You want more billions. Okay, there's no end to how much. It's amazing. You see, amazing Yavin, what goes on in this world. There's no limit. You can have everything you can possibly need for many, many lifetimes. No, that's human nature. Maybe it's healthy. Maybe that's a healthy type of thing. The person who wants more. Now, if that is true.
A poor person is richer than a rich person. Because a poor person, he only needs
small amounts.
Months.
Oyev kesef.
He's big money to keep him happy.
Oyev kesef lo yispa kesef. Someone who loves kesef, you're never going to be satisfied. So a rasha, if this is true for the average person, alachas kama v'kama, when dealing with a rasha, who has allowed himself to follow in the ways of the Yetzer Hara, how much more so it's a miserable life. Of more. The Gemara says, how do you satisfy the Yetzer Hara? You starve it. When you starve it, then you're satisfied. Okay, a lot of foods today, if the food has sugar or salt, it's a fact. Why is everything you buy in the store have so much sugar, so much salt? Because the fact is that... No, it's not just it's not only that it tastes good. That's not the main point. It's addictive. It leaves you with a desire for more. If a person wants to diet, guarantee you, if you take out same thing. If you have zero salt, zero sugar, and you eat a meal, you're full, and you don't want more. You're satisfied. Take the exact same food, and add a little salt to it, a little sugar to it, you're never satisfied. More. Salt and sugar are poison. Why are they poison? Not because.
You desire more for the sugar, it creates a certain level.
Tithing. Salt and sugar is poison, not because anything wrong with it. In moderation, everything is good. The poison of salt and sugar is it creates a force, a taiva, by many people that's uncontrollable for more. Okay, that's the mitzias. So if that's so when it comes to the Yetzer Hara, that's so when it comes to mitzias. When it comes to the Yetzer Hara, alachas kama v'kama, you never satisfy. The Yetzer Hara is pure sugar and pure salt, and you get a taste of it, more. Never ever will you achieve satisfaction. And that's what it says, Kihil Rasha, where the Rasha is praying, not because he has achieved Masi. Rashi is a very powerful word. Use Masi. Okay, that's Pshat. But the truth is, a Rasha really is never Masi Tavas Nasha. Because whatever he achieves, he only wants more. So what is he praising himself about? The fact that I have a Taiva. The fact that I want. This is what he praises himself about. Okay, that concludes. Now this pasuk is a very powerful pasuk. We have to really learn over here.
Just to add one thing in the pasuk, and he says this in general. double lashon throughout. He says, this is the Kotzker Rebbe. He said it's a warning from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in general. A double lashon is a warning.
A double lashon.
Be careful, because I don't say those things as a rule. I don't use double lashon, and when I do, take heed and be careful, because I mean it very seriously. You know. So that's the way he.
A double expression.
It's a warning.
Warning. Okay. So that you have to apply that principle to all the other words as well.
Right.
Other examples. Okay. Excellent. Now let's just, this is a critical Mamre Chazal, this is a very famous pasuk. Let's just review what we learned over here so far today. The translation of the pasuk, the Pshutoi Shel Mikra. If you learn a Daf Gemara, you'll never learn the Pshutoi Shel Mikra. 90% of the time the Gemara brings down a pasuk in Chum, a pasuk in Nach, and you don't spend time learning the pasuk, and it's very unfortunate. A lot of the Mepharshim, I'm not trying to criticize the art school, the Mesifta, I really find them lacking many times. In the Mesifta and Art Scroll, when they bring down the Pasuk, they don't spend the words, the time, to explain the Pshuto Yishel Mikra. More often than not, in the Art Scroll and in the Mesifta, they just tell you the Drasha. They quote a Pasuk, and they tell you right away the Drasha, and hit and miss, usually more often than not, they don't tell you, let us first explain to you the simple Pshuto Yishel Mikra, Gesundheit, and then we'll go into the realm of drush, pshat, remez, drush, soit, and we'll tell you the Gemara's point, the drush that we derive from the pasuk. So here we learn Baruch Hashem the pshat, because this is a very famous pasuk. This pasuk is quoted by the Gemara numerous times. So first the pshat, we've spent over here a whole hour on the pshat. Ki hilel rosha al tavas nafsho, the rosha, he praises himself. Hilel, with a chirik, hilel rosha al tavas nafsho. He praises himself regarding the fact that according to Rashi, he has achieved the desire of his neshama. He has committed a crime and has gotten away with it. He committed the perfect crime. And then the pasuk goes on to say, Ubaitseya, Aganov. Another example, it's like a pasuk in Mishlei. The letter psukim in Tehillim are very similar to psukim in Mishlei. I mean, after all, David is the son of Shlomo. Okay? So, Brok, Shlomo is the son of David, Brok, Kara de Avura. So, therefore, the son has fallen the ways of his father, Brok, Kara de Avura, and over here you have Psukim, which express the same idea twice, and different examples. So, now we begin the second example of the pasuk, Ubaitseya, a Ganof, or really more accurately, a Gazlon, someone who commits crime out in the open, which is more brazen. Ganov for someone who commits the crime secretly. Maybe okay, he commits the crime in a brazen way. Beirech, which we understood to mean like Beirech. He praises himself. He pats himself on the back and gives himself a Yasher Koyach that he was successful. Look at this. I committed a bank robber, a holdup. And look at that. I got away with it. And he puts an ad in the paper. I want to congratulate myself. This is where I live, here's my address and my name. I want to congratulate myself for stealing government. This year's tax return. This year's, don't forget, this year's the IRS has made a kol kare. It's hanging on the Pashkevilim in Yerushalayim that if you stole, if you looted, don't forget to report what you've gained as your income on your tax returns. It's retarded. Where are we living? We're in Mars? Yeah. What's going on over here? Don't forget to report whatever you've stolen on your tax. And it's true. That's what's so sad. It's actually true. Don't forget to report all stolen goods, that illegal gain on your tax return as income.
You
hear this? It is insane what has become.
My wife just told me she read that as of December 18th, there was 6 to 8 million returns backlog to be processed by the IRS from last year.
From last year,
yeah.
How many?
6 to 8 million.
Million?
Yeah.
To be they challenge.
They haven't processed them.
They haven't processed them. Why not?
They need the tax returns.
They're busy. They're busy chasing down other things. All right.
Yes.
But they've been home all year.
I don't know. Don't ask me. None of my business. But say a berech niyetz. But say a person was a gazlan, birech. If he praises, he congratulates. Put a comma. According to the pshuto yeshomer, according to both Rashi and the Mitzudos, he congratulates himself. And what else does he do? What, the subject of the next two words is the gazlan. He does two crimes. Number one, he congratulates himself on his success. And number two, he's mechoreif, rachmana litzlan, kama Hashem. He's mevoreich Hashem. He commits two crimes. He elevates himself, and he does something negative connected HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the pshuta shemekah, both according to the Mitzudas and according to Rashi. Now, let's look at what it says in Likutei Shas. It's a very important chazal. Let's do, just do this very quickly. U'botzea bechnit Hashem, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, harei shegozal soshel chitin. A person steals wheat, tichona, if he grinds it. Losha, he needs it. Va'afo, and he bakes it. Vivrish mimena chala. And he's mafresh chala. Keitzan mevorech. How can he make a bracha? It's a mitzvah, haba, ba'avera. Person steals wheat, and he grinds up, even though he acquires it. The Gemara is saying a very important insight, because if a person steals something, and he processes it, he changes it, and the person from whom he stole from, he gives up hope. He says, I'm miyayish. So you coined it two things. In order to acquire it legally, you have to do two things. Number one, he has to be yayish. The victim has to give up hope of ever getting it back. And number two, you must make a physical change in what you have stolen. Now, of course, you have an obligation to repay its dollar value. That you never get away. The ganaf, gas, that you always. But do you have to return the actual object itself? In the ordinary circumstance, the person has an obligation to return the actual object that he stole. If a person steals a bushel of wheat, he must return the bushel of wheat. However, if he has made a physical change and the victim has given up hope of ever getting back the actual object that was stolen, then he does not have to return the object, but instead he has to pay its dollar value. You never get away without paying back the dollar value. But if a person has these two conditions, he does not have to return the actual object itself. Now, fine, I own it. I'll pay back. Send me the bill. Send me the bill in the mail. Fine. They send him the bill, and he has not yet paid the bill, and now he wants to take this wheat that he stole, and he wants to grind it and make out of it, make bread. He wants to make bread, and he wants to be mafresh challah, and to be mafresh challah, you need to make a bracha. You can't make a bracha, no matter what. Even though it's technically yours, you are the legal owner, a bracha you can't say.
Benching,
if you steal food, same thing. Benching, if you steal food and you cause, same thing. You can't make a bracha. All of these examples, you cannot make
but
a bracha. One thing at a time. You're confusing me with the facts. One thing at a time. Over here in this case, Ketz Avarech, Ein Zem Avarech El Aminoitz. This is not a blessing. This is Kaviyachal, a curse. To go take stolen goods and declare Baruch Ato Hashem upon something that you stole, that's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. How do you know it? Prove it. Prove it. Show me the biblical source for this. Nowhere in the Torah does it say, because if you would not have a source for this, you can argue. Listen, I owe the money. I'm a ganaf. In Shemayim, they're going to get me. They're going to shoot me down. They're going to send me to Gehenna for being a ganaf. I owe the money. Okay. I owe the person the money. But listen.
This compounds the
by making a bracha.
Yeah.
Oh, so but if not for the pasuk, you can, if not for the pasuk, you can argue that you're not, that's not so. If the Gemara did not bring a pasuk to prove this thing to true, on your own, there are people that can argue, I can make a bracha. I own it. Okay, how did it come into my possession? It came into my possession through theft. It was ugly. Fine. Masha hoya, kivar hoya. The Torah is very generous. The Torah allows people to do teshuva. Okay, I'm not going to go mention this big, everyone is talking about this big, big thing going on in Kfar Yisrael. It was last week, okay? I'm sure people know whatever about a certain person, okay? Everyone, and people are talking about this in many different ways. The name is a very big, Ashkochi walked out in the nick of time, okay? It's a big, 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 big topic. How far does it go when a person is a criminal? Do we accept him?
When a thief returns the money, he's still guilty of the sin.
Right, He's still giving. He has to do tshuva. He did tshuva. Hey, should the Torah see this? There's a balance. It's a very powerful. This halach is an extremely powerful Musa Haskel in Yadus, because everything in Yadus is about proper balance. The Torah is extremely forgiving, extremely generous. A person does an avera, do tshuva. All is forgiven. You do tshuva, but there's a limit to how far. There are consequences. A person can commit the worst crimes, and he can do teshuva, and he can ask mechila from his victims, and he can ask mechila from Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can do teshuva, but an avera was still done. This bread, you can never make a bracha on, no matter what. You can never make a bracha on. What do you mean? I did teshuva. I said, I paid back the money to the victim. I said chatasi. I asked him for mechila. Can I make a bracha, a challah, when I'm mafresh challah on this bread? No, you can't. Because after everything is said and done, although the Torah is extremely kind and generous and will accept your teshuva, if this came into your possession through an act of theft, there are consequences. There are consequences. And the difficulty in life is always finding the sweet spot of where and when we're going to forgive you, and where we're going to say, listen, we forgive you, but you know, you're not getting back your old job. And you're banned permanently in life from ever returning to a certain type of work. I mean, where and when do you draw that balance? You see all the time people that are, like you saw the person who shot Reagan. He's out on the streets, He's out on the streets. The person, I remember when I was a little kid, they shot Reagan. Okay? Reagan never recovered. He never, ever recovered from that, what happened. It was all downhill from his rest of his life from what happened. And the person that shot him, he was a deranged person, and he was obviously arrested, and he was put in prison, and he was in the mental facility for many, many years. But right now, he's out on the streets. He's roaming out on the streets. Okay, so the country, not for me to judge, but there, in life, obviously, there's a balance of punishment and forgiveness, but even though there's forgiveness, there are consequences. And you see that here. You can't make a bracha. You can pay back all the money you want for the bread. You can't make the bracha. And if not for this pasuk, we would not know that there would be that what the Torah really wants. Because you can argue the whole day how there surely will be many, many opinions and some opinions and much discussion as to where to draw the balance. And the Torah did us a very big favor, and it decided for us the balance. In this particular case, there is no bracha. You can't make a bracha when you mafresh challah on this dough. Because how did it come into your possession? Through theft. That's it. You can pay back, you can be forgiven. In Shemayim Mechila, it came into your possession through theft. It says here, a boitzeya, a person who is a ganof, beirech, for him now to bless Hashem. Now is the drasha. The drasha is to say on this bread that you stole, Boruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam, Hashem says in my eyes, you're not blessing me, you're cursing me. Because, as Rav Michal said, you're compounding the sin. You've done a crime. Atkan, I'm not letting you make a bracha. Will I forgive you for what you've done? Well, if you ask for forgiveness, and you pay back the money, and you ask the victim for forgiveness, and he wholeheartedly says, I forgive you, and you're rehabilitated, they send you off to a rehabilitation center, and the rabbi gives you a whole process of doing teshuva, and you fast shavuot, and you do all these things to do teshuva, Hashem says you're forgiven. But you can't make a bracha. You can't make a bracha.
Because if he makes a bracha, means that Hashem helped him
do this avera.
Thank you,
you're compounding
Hashem,
the avera. Mayor, you missed all the fun. You walked out, unbelievable. That's the hashkocha. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam in this room. He sent you out, mamish, bidiyuk, the right moment.
That's why there's the only exception, the Ritva says in brachas, is if you're amazing, you eat on a fast day. He says you don't make a bracha on that. The other Rishonim disagree. And we don't ask him like the Ritva, but he says even in a case where you eat on Yom Kippur,
b'mezid,
you don't make a bracha.
You don't make a bracha. Interesting.
That's his opinion.
So how do we pass it that way? The person is b'mezid on Yom Kippur.
You're not doing yourself any favor by eating. So it's
Hashem
not
told you not to eat. Interesting. It makes
when
sense.
When you eat treif, you don't make a bracha.
If you eat treif b'mezid, that's very little. That's the words. Rabbi Lezer, I'm Yachav, 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 who is Beirech, who makes the Baruch Ato Hashem, Lekinim Melech Olam, in Hashem's eyes, Nietz Hashem. From the perspective of Hashem, this is blasphemy. So look, it is Pshut Shal Mikra. The Pshat in the Pasuk is, the word Beirech means the person congratulates himself. In the Drush, it's the person is blessing Hashem. In the next Nietz Hashem, in the Pshut Shal Mikra, the subject, the person, is being Nechoreth. And in the Drush, it's Hashem is saying back to the person, you think you're blessing me? In my eyes, what you're doing is blasphemy. It's Hashem who is saying, is responding. It's very important when you learn a Daf Gemara, because I'm thinking, you learn a Daf Gemara, this line here is very, very common. This piece of this line. Betzea Beirech Nietz Hashem. Mitzvah Haboba Aveira. It's all over Shas. And the Gemara quotes it many times. Unfortunately, a lot of the Mefarshim on the page, especially the modern Mefarshim, they don't do it justice by not telling us the Pshuto Shel Mikra first, so we can gain an appreciation of the Drasha. The Pshuto Shel Mikra is we're only it's a one way street here. The Pasuk, Beitzeya Aganov, Beirech blesses himself. Congratulates himself. We spent the whole day today learning about the grammar of the Mila'el, Mila'ra, and the Tzere versus the Chirik. He congratulates himself. And then what else does the Ganav do? The Ganav also, he is Nietz Hashem. He despises Hashem. He's Mechoref when he commits his crime. That's the Pshat. The Drush, Beirech means he blesses Hashem with the object that he stole. He steals wheat, he makes bread, he's mafresh challah, Baruch Ato Hashem. Hashem responds, you idiot. You think you're making a bracha? In my eyes, what you're doing is disgusting. It's a nietz Hashem. Okay, it's always kedai to invest the time and effort to learn the pshat, and then to use the pshat as a foundation to appreciate the drush. Okay, I'll take a short break. We'll learn, and then the last.
What do you want?
You have bread?
No, I don't have
bread. Oh, you want to do it now?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll do it right now. Rav Ezra is going to make a seam right now. I'm going to turn the screen to Ezra.
Have a minute here?
Bilo, can you hear me? Can you hear me well? I'm using today a different device. My device, I left it somewhere. Rabbi Yassi, can you hear me clearly? Yes, okay. Okay, Ezra's going to make a scene right now. Give him one more. He's going out for a second. He's coming back in 1 second.
Walder, I missed.
Walder.
Oh,
you see, I told you. Goes to prove my point. I'm not saying you're wrong.